السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we're going to do آيات 165 to 170 of Surah النساء today. We'll start with the word meanings of these ayat first, inshallah. Ayah number 165. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rusulan, messengers. This word is plural for the word rasul, which means one messenger. So rusul is the plural form of that word. So rusulan, messengers. Mubashirina, mubashir is somebody who gives good news. Ina ending makes this word plural. So mubashirina, ones who give good news. Wa and mundhirin. Mundhir means somebody who warns. So mundhirina, ones who warn. And it's plural because it ends in ina. Li alla. Li is the prefix and it means so. An la, put together. And an means that, la na. So li alla, so that na. Yakuna. Kun means to be. Ya tells us this word is in the third person. Yakuna. It is or it be. Lin nasi. Li for al. The nas, mankind, ala, against Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hujjatun, an argument, ba'da, after ar-rusul. Al means the, and rusul means messengers. Wa and kana, he is Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, azizan, one always almighty. This is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next one, hakiman, one always all wise. This is the second attribute listed here. Lakin, but Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yashhadu, he bears witness. Like the shahada, when we take the shahada, we testify that we only believe in one Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger, right? So this is the same root word. So yashhadu means he takes the shahada, he bears witness. The ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So he testifies bima, be in ma, whatever, anzala, he sent down, ilayka, ilay, to, ga, you. You meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anzalahu, anzala, he sent down, or he revealed. Who, it. And the it refers to the Quran. Okay, because he sent down this revelation. So anzalahu, he sent it down, be with ilmi, knowledge, he, his, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. Wa and al, the malaikatu, angels, yashhadun, they bear witness. Now this word also comes from shahada. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and the una ending clarifies that this is plural. So they bear witness or they testify. Wa and kafa is sufficient. Billahi, be only or definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shahida, as a witness. This comes from shahada as well, right? So shahidan is somebody who witnesses. So waqafa and is sufficient, billahi, only Allah, shahida, as a witness. Inna, indeed, alladhina, those who kafaru, they disbelieved. So the word comes from kufr, which means disbelief, and this is a verb in this case, and it ends in vowelif, and because it's a verb ending in vowelif, we know it's plural. So kafaru, they disbelieved. Wa and saddu, they hindered. Sadda means to stop others from doing something, and the vowelif in the end tells us this is plural and it's in the past. So saddu, they hindered, they stopped, an from sabili, path, Allahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qad, in fact, dallu, they strayed. Vowelif in the end tells us this is plural. Dalalan, a straying. Now this is the same word that dallu came from, dalal. It means a straying or an error. And dalalan is the act of straying. So dallu, they stray, dalalan, a straying, ba'ida, one very far. Inna, indeed, alladhina, those who, kafaru, they disbelieved, wa and dhalamu. Dhulm is the root word and that means injustice. Dhalamu is a verb and it means they did injustice, they wronged. Lam, did not. Yakun, was Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or lam na yakun, he is Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Li yagfira, li, that. Yagfira, he forgives. Ghafara means to forgive. Ya tells us this word is in the third person. So li yagfira, that he forgives. Lahum, la for, hum, them. Wa and la, nor, li yahdiyahum, that he guides them. Huda is the root word here and that means guidance. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. Li was the prefix meaning that. Yahdiya, he guides, hum, them, tariqan, to a way or path. Illa, except, tariqa, path or way, jahannama, of hell, khalidina, ones who abide eternally, fiha, fi inha, it, abada, forever. Wa and kana, it is, dhalika, that, Allah, upon, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yasira, one very easy. Ya ayyuha, oh, annasu, the mankind or people. Qad, in fact, ja'akum, ja'a has come, kum, to all of you. Ar-rasul, the messenger, be with al, the haqq, truth. Min, from Rabbi, Lord, kum, yours. Fa'aminu, fa, so, aminu, you all believe. This word comes from iman, which means to believe, to have faith. And this is a command, and it ends in vowelif. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding everyone to do this. Because this ayah started out with, ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind. So he is addressing everybody. So fa'aminu, so you all believe, khayran, best, lakum, la for, kum, all of you. Wa and in, if, takfuru, you all disbelieve. Kufr is the root word again and that means disbelief. Ta in the beginning means you. Wa alif in the end tells us this is plural. So takfuru, you all disbelieve. Fa, so, inna, indeed, lillahi, li, only for Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma, whatever, fi in as-samawati. This is plural for the words As-sama'i, so as-sama'wati, the skies or the heavens, wa, and al-ardi, the earth, wa, and kana, he is, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aliman, one always all-knowing. This comes from the word ilm, which means knowledge. And this is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Him being aliman, it means that he is the all-knowledgeable, hakiman. The second attribute mentioned here of Allah, and that means one always all-wise, one with all the wisdom, hakima. Alhamdulillah. That's it for the word meanings for this week. And now we'll begin the tafsir, or the explanation of these ayat, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رسلا مبشرين ومنذرين. All the rasuls conveyed good news to mankind and admonished them. They were not sent to display miracles to impress people. So they gave good news to people who believed and did good deeds. And they warned people who did not believe or do good deeds. And they didn't warn people to frighten them because they wanted them to just be afraid. They warned them so they could do something about it, so they can change their ways and take heed before it's too late. They did it to make people aware of what would happen if they followed the wrong path. They warned people that they would end up in Jahannam if they did not believe and do good deeds. So the messengers were Mubashirin and Mundhirin. They gave good news and they warned people. And that's how the Quran is too. Okay, it gives good news to people and it warns us. Now, many people do not like being admonished. They don't like being warned. But we need both in order to function properly, to stay upright. We need to hear glad tidings of good things that are going to happen if we stay on the right path. And we need to be admonished so we can reform our ways when it comes to the bad things we do. It's for our own good. So we need both. We need to hear good news and we need to be warned. Now we need to hear good things so we don't give up or lose hope. But at the same time, we need to be warned so we can safeguard ourselves and prepare for the hereafter. Instead of being deluded that, oh, we're just going to succeed without trying to do good and without trying to avoid sins, because that's not going to happen. If we were to only hear good news or only be warned, it would not help us stay on the right path. So the prophets gave good news to those who believed and did good deeds, not to everyone, okay, but to those people. And the prophets warned those who disbelieved, the ones who did shirk or committed sins. That's what the prophets were sent to do. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. So that after conveying the message through the rasuls, through the messengers, people should have no excuse to plead against Allah. On the Day of Judgment, nobody will be able to say that there were no messengers sent to them, so they didn't even know the difference between being guided and straying. They can't say that there was no way of them knowing. They won't be able to blame Allah and use that as an excuse for not sending someone to guide them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did send messengers. So none of us has an excuse anymore. Okay, not just the disbelievers, the Muslims too. None of us has that excuse because the message has been clearly conveyed to us. However, a lot of Muslims nowadays say that they don't want to find out about the message of Allah. They don't want to learn it in detail, so they don't have to follow the rules he gave, the rules that he sent for us. And that's why they refuse to study the Quran, just so they don't have to implement the rules in their lives. So they don't have to implement it. They actually think they'll be excused since they never bothered to learn about it. But they are deceived into thinking that way. There's no way they'll be able to present that excuse on the Day of Judgment. Okay, they can't say that, oh Allah, I never learned the Quran because I didn't want to find out about your commands, about your orders, because I knew I wouldn't be able to practice. That is not a valid excuse. On the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even accept that excuse from the non-Muslims. Okay, when they try to say that they never heard about it. So it doesn't make sense at all for Muslims to believe that they won't be held accountable for not finding out properly about Allah's orders and implementing them. How would it make sense when they even read the Shahada? And they declare that they believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It doesn't make sense, right? How can they deny the message he brought for mankind when they testify that he is the messenger of Allah? They will not be able to trick Allah in the least bit by saying things like that. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the clear message, nobody can use that as an excuse. Nobody can say that they never knew. The message he brought is here for us, and it will be preserved till the end of time. So nobody has an excuse since then, since he was sent as a prophet. The Quran and the hadith have not changed at all, and they cannot be changed. So there is no excuse. We have the message exactly as it was sent. But what if there's a place where nobody receives the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What if they live on in some remote part of the world where they're not connected to anybody else? And they never find out about the message from Allah. Like somebody who lives on an island or a jungle. What would happen with that person? Like the example of an island that was found by satellite where people do live. Okay? There are people who live on that island, and nobody knew about it until it was found by satellite, only by satellite. And the residents have not interacted with other people ever. Okay, so they don't even know what's going on in the rest of the world. They were only found by satellite. Before that, nobody even knew that they existed. And after finding out about them, Christian missionaries set out on boats to go and preach to them. But the people on the island started to shoot arrows at the missionaries, and they killed them. And maybe the place where they live does not have much potential, so the rest of the world has not invaded it or tried to take over. They have left it alone because they probably don't think it's worth going there. But there are places, there may be places out there that are so remote or so disconnected from the rest of the world that they, chances are, maybe they never came across the message of Allah. whatever the reason may be for people leaving the inhabitants of that island alone, the point is nobody goes to that island or communicates with them. So for people like that who have not received the message, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide their matter differently. Okay, because He is so fair, right? So chances are it's possible that He'll decide their matter in a different way. But we don't need to sit here and worry about that, because we cannot be the judge of what will happen for those exceptional cases. Okay, for people who lived way out in the deserts alone and never learned about Islam before their death, we just don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But the majority of the people, like 99% of the people, know about Islam. They know about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have heard his name. There's a hadith that says, by the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if anyone from this ummah hears about me being sent and he does not believe in what I have brought before he dies, he will end up in Jahannam. And when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said my ummah, he meant all the people who came after him being sent as the prophet. Everybody. Okay, everybody who comes after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as the messenger. They are all a part of his ummah. So that means that even the kafirs, the disbelievers, are from his ummah. But there are two kinds of ummah, two types. The first is Ummate Ajabat, and the second is Ummate Dawat. Ummate Ajabat are the ones who believed in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accepted Islam. They are Ummate Ajabat, and Ummate Dawat are the rest of the people who rejected the teachings of Islam. Okay, but they all learned about the message Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. That's why they are all Ummate Dawat. Okay, we are all Ummate Dawat, since he was sent as a messenger. Anybody who came after him, who comes and will come after him, are all Ummate Dawat. Okay, but if people believe in him and accept Islam, then they are Ummate Ajabat. And the ones who deny the message of Islam, even though they learned about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the message he brought, they are just Ummate Dawat. So all the believers and non-believers are Ummate Dawat. That includes everyone who hears that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent by Allah with a message. But then why don't they care to believe after that? Why don't they bother? Because they are so caught up in this worldly life, and that's why they don't bother to learn about that message. But if anyone plans to present that as an excuse on the Day of Judgment, that they were just not aware of it, that excuse will not be acceptable, since the Rasul was sent already with a clear message. And for people like us who have easy access to technology and Islamic education, there is no excuse whatsoever. If we don't bother to use the resources we have been granted to take advantage, of them, okay, to use them for our own advantage, even after having access to them, we are going to be held accountable. We know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with the message from Allah. And it's our job, it's our duty to learn what that message was. If we don't bother, we are being negligent about it. We are neglecting it. We're failing to do it. We have to read it and understand it and figure out what must be done after that, because we will not be excused for not learning about it and implementing. After Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed the message, there is no excuse. We have it. And it's in its original form. And it will be preserved this way till the day of judgment. So there is no excuse. Nobody will be able to pretend that they didn't know what sins they should have avoided and what they should have done to be able to enter Jannah. We all know about the right path, and we cannot deny that. And alhamdulillah, we can easily understand the word of Allah and learn about it in detail from the convenience of our homes without any cost for classes. But so many people don't bother to use the internet to learn the Quran, even though they use it for everything else, all different reasons. So we cannot think that we'll be excused for not learning it because we weren't able to travel far to go to institutions to learn it in detail. Because there are online classes that are accessible from home. We don't even need to travel. And we can't say that we couldn't afford to learn the Quran because the classes are free of cost. So what excuse will we be able to present when we are questioned about what we did with the message Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought from Allah? What excuse are we gonna have? Nothing at all. And that's why we make dua, Allahumma hasibna hisaban yasira. Oh Allah, make for us an easy reckoning. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us why we did something, there is no getting away with it. We will not be able to come up with an answer to that question. We should know that we will not be able to say that we didn't know about His message because we didn't bother to learn. We can't do that. We have to learn it and use it to our advantage. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty, all wise. And it's because He is all wise that He sent Rasuls, He sent messengers, and He has all the power, all the might. So He was able to do that. In Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if we had punished them before sending a Rasul, they would have said, oh, our Lord, why didn't you send a messenger to us so that we would have followed your ayat? And that messenger could have warned us, so we would have avoided this humiliation. This is what people would have said on the Day of Judgment if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not sent a messenger to warn them beforehand. People are so good at making up excuses, even when they're questioned about the small mistakes they make in life, or if they're held accountable for something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is so vast. He knows about the past, He knows the present and the future. So He knows that they would have given this excuse on the Day of Judgment. They would have made up this excuse if He allowed them to be punished before warning them first. Astaghfirullah, they would have tried to blame Allah for not sending anyone to guide them. So He sent Rasuls to explain everything. And as the Muslim Ummah, it's our responsibility to convey the message to others. We don't have to force people to believe, but we just have to get the message across to them so they know about it. then they won't be able to accuse us for not telling them, even though we knew the truth. They won't blame us for their disbelief on the Day of Judgment. As long as we do our part and get the message out to them, we will not be held accountable for not conveying the message to them. So people may believe the message that was sent for them, or they may not believe what the Rasul brought, the message the Rasul brought. لكن الله يشهد بما أنزل إليك. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bears witness that what He has sent to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنزَلَهُ بِعِلْمِهِ, He has sent with His own knowledge. They may not believe it, as they challenged Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to bring it down in front of them so they could see it being revealed with their own eyes. Remember we learned about this? This is what the Jews wanted. They demanded. Or they wanted Him to bring it down in the form of tablets or as writing on stones or something. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Quran with His knowledge. It is from Him. They said they weren't sure that the words Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said were actually from Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to them here. He says that it doesn't matter if they don't believe it. He testifies that He revealed it with His knowledge. It is from Him. And this is why it's so important to seek knowledge of the Quran. Because it was sent down with His knowledge. When it comes to all the other subjects that we study, people came up with them. Okay? Of course, Allah gave them that knowledge, and He taught them whatever they learned, and they teach others. But the knowledge of the Quran is actually what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down with His own knowledge. And we know that He has the most knowledge of all. So why is it that people leave it and they prioritize studying other things? Why don't we value the Quran as much as we should? It should interest us even more, much more, in fact, than anything else that anyone else teaches or says or believes. Or things people advise. If we really believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it down with His own ilm, we would know how great this knowledge is, how great the Quran is, how important it is. Remember the story about Musa and Khizr alayhi wa salam? Khizr alayhi salam had even more knowledge than Musa alayhi salam about certain things, subhanAllah. Musa alayhi salam thought that he had a great amount of knowledge. And subhanAllah, he did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him a lot of knowledge. But he couldn't understand certain things that Khizr alayhi salam knew. Because Khizr alayhi salam had even more knowledge than him about those things. And Khizr alayhi salam said to Musa alayhi salam, "The knowledge we have, meaning all of us who live on the earth put together, is like the drop of water this bird has taken from the sea in its beak, compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge." So he gave the example of the amount of water the bird sitting on the deck of the boat had in its beak, and he compared it to the knowledge all of us have, everyone in this world, and he compared it to the sea, which is like the knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has compared to us, all of us put together. That's how our knowledge is. That's how small our knowledge is. Like that small amount of water in the beak of that bird compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's infinite knowledge, vast knowledge. Of course, we can't even imagine the knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. But he used this example. Khizr alayhi salam used this example to try to make Musa alayhi salam understand the difference between our ilm and the ilm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. So we don't really have any knowledge compared to the all-knowing Lord of the universe. And he revealed the Quran with his own knowledge. Isn't that amazing? We should prioritize learning and reading the Quran after knowing this. After knowing that nothing from the Quran can be wrong. And anybody that says anything else, there's a chance of them being wrong, right? When someone says something else, there is always a chance that it can be wrong. But when it comes to the Quran, nothing about it can be wrong because it's all from Allah. It was revealed with his own knowledge and it's his words. We should turn to the Quran for guidance on what we should do in life. And we should seek advice from it because it's from him, the most knowledgeable. He is Alim. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَشْهَدُونَ And so do the angels. They testify too that the Quran was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا Even though only Allah's testimony is sufficient. We don't need anyone else to testify after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated something, right? So even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the angels, we don't really need anybody's testimony after Allah's testimony is mentioned. If people don't listen after that, it doesn't matter. The important point we learned from this is, no matter what people say against the Quran, no matter how many complaints they have about it, or whatever they have objected, all the objections they've had about it in the past, or they do have objections about it now, they're complaining about it, or they will ever have in the future. It doesn't matter. There is no other proof needed to prove that they are wrong in doing that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bears witness that the Quran was sent down with his knowledge. And that is enough. And that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said the Quran is the truth. Muslims do not need to worry about trying to convince others who don't believe. They don't need to prove anything to them. Just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in the Quran itself that it is the truth means that this is enough proof that it is the truth. It is true. That is his testimony in the Quran. So we don't need to look for other proofs anywhere else. We don't need to exhaust ourselves trying to come up with things. There's no need. Just tell people to read the Quran and they'll find the answers themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses all their doubts in this book and he answers their questions. The Quran will guide them and it will answer all their questions if they read it without being biased. They will clearly come to understand that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not make up these words. And that he did not learn them from someone else. They'll know that the Quran is not from any other divine being besides Allah. All their doubts will be dispelled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's testimony is sufficient that this is the truth. And we find that testimony in the Quran. So we should just tell people to read the Quran and all their objections. All their complaints will be addressed. And if anyone ever asks us how Allah bears witness, like how is it that he testifies, we should say that he testifies in the Quran. If anyone complains about the Quran or objects to any of the points from it, we should tell them to just read it and find out the truth for themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them the truth in this book itself. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those who reject faith and hinder others from the way of Allah, even after the Quran has been revealed. قَدْ ضَلُّوا ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. They have in fact strayed far away from the truth. They repeatedly reject the truth, so it becomes hard for them to admit that it is the truth. Even when they learn that it's true, at some point in their lives, their ego gets in the way. So they don't admit it because they've said for so long that it's not true. Now, the people we're talking about don't believe themselves, right? And they won't let others believe either. And that's their mission in life. They do not want anyone to accept the truth. They don't want anyone to believe and accept Islam or even think about it. When someone tries to accept, they try to stop that person. There are so many people who do this today on social media. They mislead others as well as themselves. And sadly, some people who do this are Muslims. And all this reminds us of the hadith that tells us there will be so many trials that a person will be a believer in the morning and a disbeliever in the evening. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us that there will be a time like this. There are times when people read something on the internet and they start doubting Islam or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They lose their faith. Astaghfirullah. And that's because there are people on there who mislead others. So of course they can't obtain guidance themselves because they have strayed way too far. And when people stop others from believing in Islam, they stray very far from it themselves too. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَظَلَمُوا. Indeed, those who reject faith and act unjustly, they do kufr, they deny the truth, and they do ظلم, they're unjust. One way that people do dhulm is when they sin, because they wrong themselves when they commit sins. If only they knew. They don't understand this yet, but they'll find out on the Day of Judgment that they were only harming themselves. Now, we all know that there are people who disbelieve, but they're nice otherwise. They treat other people well, and they're not unjust to anyone. They don't hurt anyone. They're different from the people who are being mentioned here, because the ones mentioned here are not nice. They disbelieve, and they act unjustly. They are caught up in sins, and some even stop others from believing or practicing Islam. When someone does not fulfill the rights of another person, or they deprive them of something that person should get, or stop them from doing something they should be able to do freely, that is dhulm, or injustice too. So there are different ways that people do dhulm. They don't believe, they hinder others, and they don't fulfill the rights that others have over them. Everyone is free to worship only one Allah. But some people are so unjust that they don't allow people to believe in and worship Allah alone. They don't give them the choice to do that. China's repression of the Uyghur Muslims is an example of this. The Uyghurs are detained and tortured so they can be forced to turn away from Islam. More than 1 million people are in concentration camps there due to their disbelief. Excuse me, due to their belief. Okay, more than 1 million people are in concentration camps because they are Muslims. They believe, and the disbelievers there have put them there. And the authorities claim that they are re-educating them so they don't become extremists. But they are, in fact, persecuting them. What they call re-education is not re-education, it's persecution. They're tortured so much because they want to force them to become disbelievers. The Muslims there cannot even practice Islam. They can't do it in any way. They can't even say salam to each other. That's how badly they're treated. And they are brutally beaten. The Uyghur Muslims are forced to eat pork. The Xinjiang pig farms are being expanded by China just for this purpose. And for one pig farm, they chose its opening day to be the first of Ramadan, just to mentally torture the Muslims, to make it even more painful for them. This was a part of their plotting to hinder them from practicing Islam. And of course, there isn't realistically a chance of other people accepting Islam when they see that other Muslims living there are not even free to practice it. They see that they're terrified when they see that the Muslims there are treated so badly. So they wouldn't even think about turning to Islam. The Uyghur Muslims are so badly persecuted that even Muslims would turn away from Islam to avoid being a part of the identity-based genocide that China is basically committing against them. It's because they're Muslims. And that genocide of Muslims in Xinjiang isn't the first time this has happened. Serbs did this over 20 years ago with the Bosnians. The genocide that took place there was witnessed by the world. The Serbs were so cruel that they became asfal as-safilin, the lowest of the lowest in their treatment to the Bosnians. They acted like shayateen. The crimes committed against humanity there cannot even be described. The Muslims who were affected by it say that they can never forget about it or forgive the Serbs, even after all these years have passed. The ethnic cleansing included extermination, unlawful confinement, genocidal rape, torture, assault, destruction of land and property, and inhumane treatment of civilians. This happened even though the Muslims there were not even very practicing Muslims. And they had thought that they would just blend in there with the rest of the people, and the Serbs would consider them like themselves. they took on their ways, their image, but they still thought of, the Serbs still thought of them as people who were different from them. They recognized them as Muslims, even though some were just Muslim by name. And they killed them. The women and children were badly mistreated. They were raped. Muslims were starved to death. There were mass graves that were found afterwards. Just reading about the main points is so traumatizing that we can't even bear to read about it in detail. And this is now happening in Gaza too. Muslims are brutally tortured and killed. And so many are hurt. So many are being injured every single day due to their belief, just because they are Muslims living on Muslim lands. They are persecuted. Mass ethnic cleansing of Palestinians is taking place there now. And people in Lebanon are also being killed. They're being evicted from their homes. People across Gaza face a worsening humanitarian crisis. It's so heartbreaking to see the images that come out of there. And it's so hard to believe that humans can do this to others. So shouldn't the people who commit such crimes against humanity suffer the consequences of their actions? They deserve some sort of punishment, don't they? They disbelieve and they are so cruel. They sin. They are wrongdoers. Of course they're going to be punished for their wrongdoing. لَمْ يَكُنِ اللَّهُ لِيَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive them if they don't repent and they die in the state they're in, continuing to commit the crimes they've been committing without stopping to seek forgiveness. They will not be forgiven. وَلَا لِيَهْدِيَهُمْ طَرِيقًا. And he will not guide them to any way, meaning to the right path. إِلَّا طَرِيقَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Other than the path of Jahannam, wherein they will live forever. That's the only path they'll be guided on. They rape. They kill innocent people, including so many children. When a 3-year-old Syrian boy experienced so many horrors that the last thing he said was, I will tell. The last thing he said was, I will tell Allah everything. When he said that he's going to tell Allah everything, what do the wrongdoers expect after that? Of course Allah will seize them for the crimes they commit. He's not going to leave innocent people helpless. Just because innocent people are persecuted by others now in this life does not mean the wrongdoers doing this will get away with it in the year after. They will have to pay for their sins. Those who inflicted so much pain and suffering on others, on innocent people, will have to suffer as a result of their wrongdoing. They will pay for everything they did. This goes for those who have the Uyghur Muslims detained in concentration camps in China, where nobody can dare to question what they're doing. Nobody can question the authorities. And same thing with those persecuting Syrians, committing genocide against Palestinians, and carrying out civilian massacres in Lebanon as well now. Do the wrongdoers think the Muslims have nobody to turn to? They are wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these people, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, they will live in Jahannam forever and ever. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا, and this is easy for Allah. So nobody should doubt that the wrongdoers will remain in the hellfire forever as a result of their actions. People shouldn't even doubt for a second that it would not be doable for Allah. And they can't try to imagine how there must be some sort of a limit to how long the hellfire will burn. They shouldn't think of that. That it would extinguish one day. It's not going to happen. So those people will never get out of there. Do they think it's impossible for Allah to start a fire that won't ever extinguish? Or that its fuel will not run out? They're wrong to let any such thoughts come to mind. Allah is all able. He has the power to do anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's very easy for him to do this. It's not challenging at all for him to keep that fire going forever. The fuel of that fire is not going to run out. It's going to keep going forever. It's not hard for him to punish or burn so many people in it, to make it big enough for so many people. It's all very easy for him. Even if all of creation was to be put in Jahannam, it wouldn't make a difference to him. But he is still very fair. He is so just. If he questioned people about fulfilling his right to be worshipped, we would never be able to do it the way we should. We can't even do a fraction of how he deserves to be worshipped. If he were to put everyone in Jahannam for not doing it, he would still be just. There's nobody who can stand up and question him about anything he does. So it's really easy for him to keep that fire of Jahannam burning forever. Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses everyone, all of mankind, not just the Muslims. The Quran is an open invitation for all of mankind. When Cat Stevens accepted Islam, he said, I loved how the Quran speaks to all of mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, O mankind, قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ بِالْحَقِّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, surely the messenger has brought you the truth from your Lord. And this, the truth means the Quran. The Quran is the truth. And there's no doubt about that. فَآمِنُوا, so believe in it, O people. خَيْرًا لَكُمْ, it is for your own benefit. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls people to it in so many different ways. He gives good news of great rewards in some parts of the Quran for people who believe and do good deeds. And then in other parts, he warns those who reject. He admonishes people, but they don't listen. They don't care. They read it, but they don't realize what Allah is saying to them. They don't try to understand that he's calling out to them. There isn't going to be any miracles that we're going to witness where we hear a voice calling out to us from the sky. The wahi, the divine revelation, has been revealed in the form of the Quran already. And it calls out to us till the day of judgment. What are we going to say when Allah says that He sent Rasuls with the truth? So what did we do in response? This truth is from our Lord, the one who created us, the one who sustains us every single second of our lives. He sent a Rasul to bring His message to us and guide us. خَيْرًا لَكُمْ. This is better for you, for your own benefit. This means that if we don't believe, we're only hurting ourselves. He has warned us. But in تَكْفُرُوا, and if you disbelieve, there are people who reject. They are careless about it. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's fine. If they're careless about it, it's okay. If you don't care and it doesn't matter to you, فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, then you should know that to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. Subhanallah. It makes no difference to Him whether we believe or not. Astaghfirullah. Some Muslims actually dare to say that they stopped praying because they made dua and Allah didn't answer their dua. Okay, they are so ignorant in some ways that they dare to say such things. Astaghfirullah, as if they're causing Allah a loss for not worshipping Him, for not answering their duas, that they're causing Him a loss. They're doing something to Him to get back at Him. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. They think they can treat Him the way they treat others, that they'll treat Him a certain way just because He does or doesn't do something for them. It's so foolish of them to think that way. They stop worshipping Him and bowing before Him, claiming that He didn't care about them. But how can they care to do that? Don't they understand that it's not going to make any difference to Him? They're only harming themselves by doing that. Even if they don't pray even once in life, it would not make a difference to Him at all. Because لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, only to Him belongs everything in the heavens and the earth. And we live on the earth, right? We live here. We're a part of the earth, so we belong to Him too. Even if someone does not do sajda before Him, it does not mean that we're free. We all belong to Him. We are His slaves. He's our master. Nobody else owns us, but He is our creator. And He does own us. We belong to Him. This is something we should all know, and we should be proud to be His slaves, because He is our creator. He sustains us. And we're going to return to Him. When people are arrogant and they reject the truth, saying that they don't understand Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it doesn't make a difference to Him if people believe or not. We are nobody to reject. Even if we don't admit it or glorify Him, He is our owner. There is a hadith Qudsi in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the hearts of the first man to the last man who is sent to this earth all become like the most pious person in the world, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, Allah's kingship would not increase at all, even if everyone became so pious and obedient. And he says, if the first man to the last all become like the most evil person in the world, like Shaitan, for example, Allah's kingship will not decrease in the least bit, even if they all disobeyed and did evil things. So people shouldn't think that their prayers will increase him in power or his kingship at all. He is free of needs. He is ghani. We are very insignificant. If we can just understand that, we would know that we have no right to decide whether we want to worship the Lord of the universe or not. We don't have the right to decide. How can people dare to say that they won't pray or read the Shahada or believe in his Rasul just because their du'as were not answered? It doesn't matter to him if they don't. He doesn't care. But it doesn't please him when people do that. He is pleased when we act the way we should, like his slaves. He is ghani. He is free of needs. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, antumul fukara. You are all in need. You're all poor. Allah is ghani. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing and all-wise. He has revealed the Qur'an based on his wisdom. And because of his ilm, he says, آمِنُوا خَيْرًا لَكُمْ. Believe, accept Islam, it's better for you. This is the best thing you can do. He is the all-wise and he's telling us this. And he has all the wisdom. The word hikmah or wisdom means to have the ability to make the right decision at the right time, at the right place, in the right way, due to the right reasons. That is all hikmah. We don't have wisdom about everything, but he does. He knows everything that has ever happened. He knows what's happening right now and he knows what will happen in the future. He is Alim. Everything that goes on out in the open or in the darkest of all places, he knows about. If someone is upset about something, if they're sitting somewhere alone crying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that too. He knows about all their problems. He knows about all our troubles. And he knows how and when they will come to an end. He is all-knowing. He knows when and where each one of us will stay and for how long. And when we will die. He knows everything about our future. About our next life. Meaning the eternal life. He even knows where we will stand on the Day of Judgment, on the ground of Hashr, where our feet will be placed. He even knows if our scale of good deeds will be light or heavy. He already knows if we'll get across the bridge of Sirat on the Day of Judgment or not. He knows if we'll be able to read the Shahada at the end of our life or not. He knows exactly what our end will be like. And he knows who will say labbaik to this invitation from Allah and who won't. He calls out to people saying, Ya ayyuhan nas. So he's speaking to everyone. And he knows who the humble people that bow and do sajda before Allah are. Those who submit. And he knows who the arrogant ones are. The ones who reject. He is Aliman Hakima. He is the all-knowing and the all-wise. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.